Good morning. Today's daf in Nazir Samachay. We're going to be starting with the Mishnah on Samach Dalad Amud Beis. Samach Dalad Amud Beis. The Mishnah. Okay, here we are now towards the end of the Masechta, end of the Perek, end of the Masechta. Two more dapim to go today and tomorrow. And we are going to really go a little bit off-road here in the Masechta. Obviously, most of the Masechta has been dedicated to Nazir. Tomorrow's daf, we're going to quickly, it's a short daf tomorrow, quickly return back to Nazir at the end of the Masechta. I say quickly, meaning it's really a short circuit tomorrow that brings us back. But meanwhile, we're going to be leaving the world of Nazir today totally. And today we're going to be talking about Kfur. We're going to be talking about the mitzvah of burial. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to bury, specifically to bury in the ground. And the Gemara Baba Basra spent a lot of time talking about configuration. To really understand and appreciate today's daf, you have to go through the Gemara and Baba Basra. We here in the Daf Yomi are not going to go through the Gemara and Baba Basra, but I'm just telling you that if you really want to understand the numbers that were going to be introduced to us, so you have to go through the Gemara and Baba Basra. So what I'm telling you on the front end, what we're going to go through our Mishnah, and obviously I'm going to read the numbers of our Mishnah, but I'm going to wait. What are we talking about now? 2 years, 3 years? But I'm going to wait till we get to the Gemara and Baba Basra, where we're really going to do a better job with the configuration and the math in terms of understanding the numbers, right? The Gemara and Baba Basra uses our Mishnah over here, basically, let's crunch the numbers. We're not going to be crunching the numbers today. We'll introduce ourselves to the numbers, but we're not going to crunch them. But let's take a step backwards from, in other words, as you see already, I'm prepping everybody. We're not going to really delve into the numbers, but if we could take a step back and just go over what we're talking about. Now, why we're talking about it, a little bit unclear, meaning the in Masecht Nazir, obviously, we've been primarily concerned with the Nazir. So why we're talking about burial and burial plots and discovery of burial plots. So I understand there is a connection. In other words, by Nazir, this Tumas Mason, this obviously has to do with Tumas Mace, but really the truth of the matter is that there are other Masechtas and Shas that dedicate themselves to this topic. It's called Olos. Sorry. It's called Olos, and so the fact that we have a Mishnah over here that touches on this issue is admittedly a little bit strange, but that's fine. It doesn't matter. In other words, we're here, and we have an opportunity to learn, and so obviously we're gonna be doing today's daf. So let's get under the way. So Amotze Meis Petchila. So Mushkav Kedarko. Every word of the Mishnah is significant. That's always true. But as you're going to see, the Gemara is going to really zoom in on every single word of the Mishnah. So I'm reading it quickly now. And that is that if you find a dead person, initially, Mushkav Kedarko, lying as it normally lies. Okay. Again, we're going to be focusing on every one of those words. Note, Lov et Fusa So. So what you can do now is that you can you can dig up the body, right, and reinter it into another burial plot. Okay. In other words, we're going to be making a lot of assumptions. There's going to be a lot of forensics in today's daf, just generally speaking, clues that are given to us and conclusions that we're going to be making based on those clues. So over here, the Mishnah is assuming now that since we have a discovery, a new discovery of a body that we didn't know that was there, but it's a Jewish body. Now, how do we know it's a Jewish body? At this point in time, there obviously we're at some point of decomposition. There is no way based on doing any kind of testing of the body. Obviously, I'm not talking about our advanced testing that we have nowadays, but back in the day, there's no way they're going to know whether it's Jewish body or not just by looking at the body. Again, we've gone through a significant amount of decomposition. So, but there are clues. In other words, this is forensics. There are going to be basic clues that are going to be given to us that this is, in fact, a Jewish body. Over the course of today's daf, we're going to see what those clues are. And so, therefore, we can make a certain number of conclusions based on these clues. Okay, so, the Gemara is going to say. So that this was just a temporary resting spot. This was not intended to be his permanent resting spot. And so therefore what we could do is that we could dig up the body and put it into a quote unquote proper burial spot. Also, the Mishnah says you have to take tfusa so. Now, what is tfusa so? Surrounding earth. In other words, not just the body itself, not just the remains itself, but surrounding earth. We're going to define that in much greater detail. Shnaim no lamed tfusa sam. Now, if you find two bodies, so same halacha. So if it's the same halacha, so that why do we then go to the number two? Because we want to contrast it to the upcoming, which is the number three. Now, matzah shlosha. Now, what if you find three bodies? So im yesh bein telazem midal amos vashmona arayz v'shchuna kfaros. Now, if the distance between them, now obviously them, we're talking about three right now. So presumably over here, we're describing the distance between one and three. If the distance between one and three is anywhere between 4 to 8, so then 4 to 8 amos. So now, bo dekemen ola ala nesrim ama. So now what you're going to be doing now is that you're going to be doing a much larger search, because basically what we've discovered is a cemetery. We discovered a Jewish cemetery. We didn't know there was a Jewish cemetery there, obviously. But now that we discovered it, in other words, the three bodies that are buried there. So now you're going to be extending your search 20 amas, presumably in every direction. And now, if let's say 20 amas past that point in time, now I've discovered more. So now that's going to require more. So, let's do that again. So, matzah echad, top line, samachemet aleph. Matzah echad besof eser mama, bo dekemen alalan eser mama. So, if I do find one that is 20 amas, so then I have to do now another search of 20 amas. Reglaim ledavar, because at this point in time now, reglaim ledavar. Reglaim ledavar is a term that you're going to be seeing a lot here at the end of Nazir. We're going to see it together at the beginning of Sota. Reglaim ledavar means now is that there's good reason to be suspicious. In other words, there's enough data, there's enough evidence that would seem to indicate, yep, we discovered it. We discovered a cemetery, and so therefore we have to search further. If you only found one originally, so you take it and its tfusa and its surrounding earth. Okay, so here we are now in a Mishnah in Nazir, one of the last Mishnahs here in the Masechta, and what we just learned together is basically the idea that if I discovered a body that we did not know existed historically, so what do I do with that discovery? What do I do with the body? So one or two, so you can go ahead and dig it up from the ground, remove the body from the ground, and move it to a proper Jewish burial. On the other hand, if let's say you found three within a certain area, so now this is a Jewish cemetery, and now it's going to require you, number one, to leave it there, and number two, to do a larger search in the surrounding area. Now, as far as the numbers are concerned, 4 by 8, 20 amas. So on the front end of the Mishnah, I already said we're not going to be crunching the numbers today. In other words, when we get to Baba Basra, we will, in detail, go through exactly what a Jewish cemetery looks like, what are the configurations of a Jewish cemetery, why these particular numbers. So I'm going to table that discussion. This is at least 2-year tabling of the discussion. Right, we have to finish Seder Nashim, then we start Nezikin, Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, and we're about 100 pages into Baba Basra. So I didn't look at the calendar, but it's about 2 years. Okay, so we'll table the discussion in terms of understanding the number, just so that everyone have a rough understanding of what we're describing over here. Back in the day, how do they bury? They buried in caves, Ma'ara, and basically what you would do is you would go into the cave, and then bodies were buried. In other words, the entrance into the cave, it's a very small area, 4 by 8 amas. And then bodies would be buried to the right, to the left, and in at the back of the cave. And sometimes there was a cave that went, and sometimes there was a courtyard that opened up to two different sides. Okay, not for now. The Gemara Baba Basra is going to be discussing it in more detail. When we get there, I'll discuss it. We'll discuss it together in more detail.
They only used it for a year, and then they took the body.
Right, and sometimes they buried it for a short amount of time, then only with the purpose of going ahead and digging it up and then reinterring it into another one. That correct. That was a minhag. Amar Rav Yehuda. So now, as I mentioned, but here we are now in the Gemara, and that is to zoom in on the words of the Mishnah. So Amar Rav Yehuda matzah. So you see the word matzah. Right? Well, not exactly, but yes. So hamotze meis betchila, right? That's the Mishnah. So what is the hamotze? It's a discovery. So pra'la matzui. And over here, the that's an exclusion. And that means that what we're doing is we're excluding matzui. Tosos, right away. Tosos writes, matzah pra'la matzui, perish ri. She'im haya yadea lo yehe not lo. If, let's say, for example, you knew it was there, so then you do not take it. Kidamina beperek nigmar. Then he quotes over here the sixth parak of Sanhedrin. Kevra nimsa muta lefnoso, kevra yadua asur lefnoso. Right? Basic halachas. And that is that if it's a kevra hayadua, if we know that there was a grave there, so then asur lefnoso, you're not allowed to remove it. So the only allowance where I could take the remains and dig it up and move it somewhere else is only if it's matzah. Only if this is a brand new discovery. Okay, he's bothered by what seems to be a stir between our Gemara and the Gemara and Sanhedrin. Anyway, we go back to the Gemara. So, diuk number one is matzah, prat la matzui. Number two, mace, prat la haruk. Prat la haruk. And on top of that, there's another diuk in the Mishnah, and that is that, what do we discover? So, he died. What seems to be of natural causes. Now, how do I know it was natural causes? How do I know he wasn't killed? So, back in the day, so killed means that he was killed in battle. Right, and so basically what we're going to be finding is not the full remains of the body, but we'll find only parts of the remains of the body. So under those circumstances now, so the halach is that you're not allowed to move the body. Now why? That's a good question. Tosos, once again, next Tosos, Prat Laharug. So Kedamina Besamach, the Mesha Chaser in Lotfusa, Velo Shechunas Kvaros. Well, Tosos tells us that there is going to be halacha we're going to see in just a moment, that if the remains is missing any one of the limbs, if it's chaser, so then you don't have the right to move it. I'm only pushing the question forward. Well, let's ask again, why? Meaning, why, just because the remains is missing a limb, you can't move it? So I'm going to jump ahead one more Tosos. So Meisha chaser en lo shchunas kvaros, kasha lahavin, lama. So Tosos here acknowledges it's difficult to understand. Meaning, what does the factor of missing a limb have anything to do with digging up the body and moving it? And v'shem halach l'moshe misinahu. And Tosos, with a lack of an ability to explain this rationally, says, look, this just simply you could file this under halach l'moshe misinai. Okay. In other words, we have certain mesoros and certain traditions, and obviously when I say tradition over here, I'm not talking about an old minhag, I'm talking about halacha. But halacha le Moshe Misinai, meaning that this is part and parcel of the Torah Shebaal Peh that Moshe received. That you can't find psukim that would speak to this idea, but still, in other words, this is part of our mesorah, certain bodies can be moved and certain bodies cannot be moved. Only if it's shalem, not if it's chaser. Okay? And in terms of why? So Tosos, as you can see, struggles with an explanation and therefore advances that halacha Moshe Misinai. Let's go back to our Gemara. So matzah prat la matzah, what we did, meis prat la harug, mushkav prat la yoshev kedarko. Okay, mushkav means it has to be lying, and as opposed to yoshev kedarko, meaning we have to look at the positioning of the body as it was found in the ground. In other words, what do we expect a Jewish burial to have looked like? Lying flat horizontal. Now, it happens to be nowadays, everyone is buried flat horizontal. A notable exception, of course, to other ways of burial that's done. But in other words, we're talking about burial in the ground. So everyone nowadays is buried that way. But still, back in the day, this was clearly a very Jewish way to be buried. Mushka prat liyoshev, kidarko, right? It was just every word of the Mishnah. Kidarko prat liyoshev munach ben yarkasav. Okay, head between the knees, again, the guy when they used to bury, the body in more of a fetal position. And that's not the Minhag Yisrael. Minhag Yisrael is to be buried straight horizontal. Okay. Teni ula barchanina, meisha chaser en lo tfusa v'lo shchunas kvaros. If you have a mace where, it's clear that it's missing limbs, so now there's no halach of tfusa, that's surrounding earth. There's no halach of shchunas kvaros, that is that requirement of extra searching. And the Gemara says, because once now we no longer have the evidence, the forensics, that would indicate that this was a Jewish body, so then obviously there's no longer this requirement to dig the body up and put the body in a proper Jewish burial. Let's say that you find more than one body, but they're not being buried in the same alignment, right? You go to a Jewish cemetery. Again, it's probably true by non-Jewish cemetery as well. But you go to a Jewish cemetery, so the rows of bodies that are buried, so everyone's buried in the from in the same direction, head to foot, right? And you'll find that throughout the entire row. Okay, so be that as it may. So if I find that they are not being buried in the same alignment, so once again, the assumption is that it's not a Jewish body that you found. Another halacha, and that is that let's say the three were not found at the same time. Meaning, let's say you have one that you knew already that was there, and next to it you discovered two. Alternatively, you knew that one was there, and next to it you discovered... I'm sorry. You knew that two were already there, and next one you discovered is one. In other words, but the three were not discovered at the same time. So at that point in time, we no longer have a halacha of shchunas kvaros. Once again, Tosos says that most probably, right, Tosos, echad yadua, v'shnayim umotzi ata betchila, ein lo shchunas kvaros, Rashbam perush, halach l'moshu misinayhu. So one of the Balei Tosos, the Rashbam, says that this too is... It's a little bit hard to explain this from a rational standpoint. So then it's halacha Moshe Mistinai. If you were to go on in the Tosos, you would find that the Reed does try to offer a svara in terms of how to understand this. But again, now for a second time in this morning's daf, so you see Tosos saying that, look, it's really hard to understand the rationale behind these halachas. Therefore, halacha Moshe Mistinai. We're back in the Gemara. We're in Samech Hamad Aleph. We're halfway down on the Amud Ma'aseh Rabbi Yisheviv. Shabbat Gomatzah Shnayim Yidu Me'echad Tchila Bikesh La'asos Some Shchunas Kvaros. And so Rabbi Yisheviv found, but again, he didn't find all three together, meaning they were buried. They were found buried together, but one of them he knew about already. Sorry, in this particular case, two of them he knew about already, but now he made a discovery of another one that was next to it. But again, we just learned together that the halacha of shchunas kvaros only applies when they're all three discovered together. So, he thought that the halacha of shchunas kvaros should apply. Again, shchunas kvaros requires, number one, a much lengthier search around and surrounding area, 20 amas in each direction, and also your inability to move the bodies, because you have now discovered a cemetery. So, amar Rabbi Akiva, kol shigata lareik yagata, and Rabbi Akiva says, no. It's lareik. In other words, you've been wasting your time. Lo amr shchunas kvaros ala legimel. Now the Gemara takes out the next four words of the Gemara. Shchunas kvaros is only when I find three together. Then and only then do we have shchunas kvaros. Otherwise, it is not a shchunas kvaros, and therefore you have the ability to go ahead and to move the bodies and move it to a proper Jewish cemetery. Okay. Now, just if we can just for a moment pause and if I can explain this a little bit better. In other words, clearly, it's been hard to explain a lot of these halachas, but why are we moving bodies? Meaning, what's this big idea of, I'm going to take the body, I'm going to dig it up, I'm going to move it to a proper Jewish cemetery. So most probably the best explanation, I take that back. But a good explanation of all this is that basically what we want is more Tahor area. We're in Eretz Yisrael. You have Kohanim eating Truma. You have people who are going to want to go to the Beis HaMikdash, right? Anyone who encounters and discovers Tumas Meis. So is it going to now be banned and restricted from eating Truma, if you're a Kohen, going to the Beis HaMikdash? We want more free and clear area in Eretz Yisrael. So obviously what we want to do is that we want to consolidate the Meisim and move them all to a centralized location so that we'll have more area in Eretz Yisrael, which is Tahor. So that's probably the driving force behind these halachas in terms of making sure that everything is free and clear. Okay, good. So that's the general idea that's happening over here. Once an area is designated as a shchunas kvaros, so now it becomes a cemetery. So on one hand, great. On the other hand, now that's more property, more real estate in Eretz Yisrael. That's not tahor. Okay. So if I would guess, that's probably a lot of the driving force behind these particular halachas. No lana tfusa san. Okay, so now, upon discovering a body, so what do you want to do? You want to clear the area. So what do? You remove the body, obviously, and surrounding earth. Gemara now is going to be spending just a moment on this idea of surrounding earth. Hechi dami tfusa. Okay, so tfusa, so where's this halacha coming from? So I'm reviewed, I'm a krav nisa, sanim imitzrayim, tol imi. So the Gemara darshins. right? Yaakov, Yaakov or Yosef? Now I'm second guessing myself. No, Yaakov. Right, v'shechafti ma'avasai. I'm reading the pasuk in total. V'shechafti ma'avasai. I'm nesasani mi'mitzrayim u'kvartani b'kvurasam. V'yomar anochi yaseh kidvarecha. Okay, good. So Yaakov says, what you're going to do is that you're going to take me out of Mitzrayim. Now it says me Mitzrayim. In other words, what you're going to also do is you're going to take a little bit of Mitzrayim together, meaning the earth of Mitzrayim. So that when you dig up my remains, you're going to be digging up not just the remains itself, but also part of the land itself. Okay. Now, as far as the source is concerned, is this a real drasha or is this just an asmachta? It seems a little bit more like the latter rather than the former, right? Consider we know how they dealt with Yaakov after he died. So they mummified him. And so he wasn't buried in the ground. And then they transported him to Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So it's probably not a drasha gemur. It's probably more of an asmachta, but still it does not affect the halacha. The halacha is that you have to take surrounding earth. V'kama shir tfusa. So how much earth are we talking about? Perish Rabbi Lazar notel. Afetichuch v'chofer besula gimel etzbaus. So what you're going to do is that if there's any loose earth whatsoever, so that's a given. That you take. And then, even if it's not loose earth, but then you're going to do is you're going to dig down into the ground 3 inches, right? And etzba is approximately an inch. So you're going to be digging 3 inches into the ground. You're going to be taking that earth as well. Okay, and why are you taking all of that? So Tosfos over here quotes a Yerushalmi. Tosfos, it's now about 5 wide lines down. Kamashir Tfusa Pirsh Rebbe Lazar. So who Rebbe Lazar ben Pedashu Amora? Okay, first of all, it's an Amora. In a moment, I'll explain why that's significant. Next Tosfos. No Tolafer Tchofer Bekarka Besula Shalosh Etzbaos B'Yerushalmi Mefaresh Shemol Ames Yared Bekarka Adgimot Etzbaos. Oh. So probably you guessed this already, but Tosfos says, he quotes the Yerushalmi, that what happens is that as the body's decomposing, so a lot of it now is basically going to go down, gravity. A lot of that remains is going to be pulled down into the ground. And so what you want to do is you want to take that earth in order so that you're going to be removing all the human remains. Okay. Again, by the way, probably speaks to the idea that I mentioned earlier. Really what we want to do is we want to clear Tumah and create more tahor area. So you're going to dig down into the ground, those 3 inches, in order to get that, to get all the remains. Now, Meisvei. So the Gemara is going to challenge. So what are we challenging over here? The opinion of Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar, the Amora. Meaning Rav Elazar, the Amora says that, what is the definition of tfusa? All loose earth given, and on top of that also 3 inches of packed earth. But that was below it. Okay. That's his position. But he's an Amora. The Gemara is now going to quote a Braisa, and the Braisa over here is going to clearly not be in agreement with this position. So not to be confused, Rav Elazar Rabbi Tzadok over here, the Tana is of the following position. Now the Girsa over here is a bit choppy, and the Gemara has a different Girsa. I'm just going to read the words of our Gemara, but I'm going to explain it as per the intent that the Gra here explains. No, tell us that kisamim v'sa kisasos v'zorik es avadayim u'meinich es asfekos v'ashar mitzarev l'rov b'nyanav shalmeis l'rov atzamos ulamolo tarvad rekev. Okay. So, again, exactly the girsa of the Bryce over here. See the Gra for a more fine-tuned girsa of the Bryce. But the basic point of the Bryce is yisift. In other words, so when you discover a body, so you take the remains of the body, and as far as any surrounding earth is concerned, you don't take all the earth, all the surrounding earth, but basically what you do is you sift through it. If you discover any human remains there, good, you take that, but otherwise the rest of the earth, you leave. Okay, so the Bryce over here, and by the way, just to tell you which parts I'm skipping right now, right, I did read in the Bryce of Malotar Vidrekev, which is basically the decomposition got to the point where it's dust. And as a result of that, we know that a spoonful of dust is metame ba'oel. We talked about it earlier in the Masechta. And I'm just skipping, right? I'm fast-forwarding with the difficulty in that. We also learned together earlier in the Masechta that Melotarvid Rekev is only going to be metame ba'oel, only if it is totally unadulterated. Once there's any kind of adulteration of earth, so then it doesn't give off tuma, and so that becomes a little bit difficult. Again, I skipped all that because I just want to focus on the main points of the Gemara. Okay, and that is, we have an Amora, Rav Elazar, who said, what do you do in terms of surrounding earth? Take it all. We just learned a Braisa that effectively says, sift through it. Okay, so those are not in agreement. Now, you can't have Rav Elazar, the Amora, saying something that is against a Braisa. So the Gemara's answer is very simple. Hu damar ki aitana. So Rav Elazar the Amora has another braisa that he follows. And that is the Tanya, v'kamashir tfusa amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum ben azai, no to'afer tichuch v'chofer b'psula shalosh etzbaos. Good, I have a braisa. The braisa says exactly what Rav Elazar taught us, which is that you take all the surrounding earth, meaning all the loose earth you take, that's a given, and on top of that as well, you dig down 3 inches and you take that earth as well. Good. So Rav Elazar the Amora now has a braisa that supports his position. Good. And that operates with his definition of tfusa. We are on the very bottom of Samech Hamad Aleph and almost finished with our Mishnah. So our Mishnah talks about discovering of a body and the ability, the right, and probably the requirement to go ahead and to dig up the body and put it in a Jewish cemetery. And my proposals earlier this morning in terms of why that is, but and then the specifics regarding the halacha of if I find one or two, so then I don't have to do a wider search, but I do have to, however, take surrounding earth, the definition of surrounding earth. Once you discover three, so now you have to do a wider search, a massive bedika in 20 amas, presumably in every direction, in order to see if there are other mason around. Bodek heimenu. So amarava, bodek ufana, badek ufana, badek veshkach. So Rava now describes the following scenario. You found one body. You didn't know it was there. You found the body, discovery of the body. Okay. So now what do? You dig it up, reinter it into a Jewish cemetery. Okay. Now, right next to it, you didn't know this, but right next to it, there was a second body. Okay. Again, the halacha allows me to dig it up. So you dig it up and you reinter it into another one. Then immediately next to it, you find a third. Okay. So the sum aggregate total now is that you had three contiguous bodies that were buried one next to one another. But you didn't know about all three. In other words, and in fact, with one and two, you dug it up. But now you found a third, so retroactively now comes out that you had three contiguous bodies. And so what is that? That's called Shechunas Kvaros. So now what do? So we're going to have two versions of what the halacha is. So in version number one, so let me start again from the top of the Amud. Amar Rava Badek Ufana Badek Ufano Badek Vashkach Lo Hai Mefani Le Gabe Hanach Trei Velo Hane Trei Le Gabe Hai Chad. So in version number one, you cannot move anything. Don't take the one and move it, because that one now retroactively is Shechunas Kvaros. Now, interestingly, don't take the other two that you already moved and move it back. Okay. I'm again admitting I don't fully understand that. Meaning that in this version where we are now deeming it a Shechunas Kvaros, so doesn't that mean that your removal of the bodies to begin with was improper? And seemingly that would mean that you should move it back. Okay, so I'm just admitting that I don't fully understand it, but in version number one, we do judge it as a Shechunas Kvaros, even though one and two were moved at the time rightfully. Meaning, remember, what we learned in our Mishnah is that if I find one or two, there's no need for a wider sweep and a wider search. I could just simply dig it up and move it. So one and two, you were in the right. But once you discover the third, so now I have to look back and judge it retroactively, and now it's a Shechunas Kvaros. Fine. So the halacha is, in version number one, is that we're going to treat it like a Shechunas Kvaros. You can't move the third. Okay. Now, Igadarmi, now you kept hearing me say version number one. So you know what's going to happen. There's another version that's called the Ikadamri. Ikadamri Amarava Kemshinitna Rishos Lifnos Mifana Lahon Ulishivna Uvilishvina Shchunas Kvaros Amarish Lakish Ila Matsavitara Ertisol. So in version number two, no, we don't relitigate. We don't go back and judge it retroactively. One you moved, you were in the right. Two you moved, you were in the right. You found a third right next to it. Okay, I understand. It makes sense to go back and relitigate. And it is a Shechunas Kvaros. I understand all that. But Reish Lakish's explanation, Ila Matzo, Vitiaro Eretz Yisrael. Ila, basically, English translation would be any excuse. Meaning that, look, and by the way, you could probably guess now where my explanation earlier comes from this Gemara. Meaning really what we want to do to the best of our ability is create more free and clear space in Eretz Yisrael, of Tahara. So over here, you moved one rightfully, you moved two rightfully. I understand. Now that you find the third, it is a Shechunas Kfaris, but you were in the right for one, you were in the right for two. You know what? For number three, we're not going to call it Shechunas Kfaris. We're not going to go back. We're not going to relitigate. In other words, you can go ahead and you can move this as well. Any excuse that we can find in order to make more Torah space in Eretz Yisrael, so let's do it. Okay, good.
Why don't you say that, since you discovered the third grave, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we say that the Heter was the building
right, state, right? Right, that's version number one. Meaning, you're right. I think it's easier to understand version number one. This version number two is definitely more difficult and challenging to understand. I agree.
What if it was his property? He bought a property.
Yeah.
He has to leave it there?
Right. Definitely challenging. I don't know. Badak Master Amma Velo Matza Mai. So you did a Bedika 20 Ammas and you didn't find. So what's the halacha? So now it's a little bit difficult to understand what the Gemara is asking. Meaning you're now in the event that you find three contiguous. So now there is a requirement of a wider sweep and a wider search. And now what's the Gemara saying? If I didn't find, now what? Well, if you didn't find, so then you didn't find. So again, Tosos. So Bad Mechaf Amma Velo Matza Mai Dela Echad Minaruchos. So what you did is you only searched in one direction. Mi amrin an ki echad el ruch zelo matza lo yizeh zakok bivzok l'shar ruchos midbarazu leka olo. So now the way Tosas understand the Gemara's question is that I did a search, but only one direction. Meaning in our mission we said that you have to do, once you have three, you have to do a 20 amma search. Now, again, the simple reading of the mission would seemingly be in all four directions. And meanwhile, what the Gemara now is asking is, I did a search in one direction. Do I have to do now a search in all three directions? Once again, the way Tosfos sets up the Gemara's question, it's difficult to understand. Meaning, once I have three and once it's a Shechunas Kfaros, I'm saying this from my own, what would seem to be common sense. Of course I would have to search in all four directions. Meaning now we have a good argument to make that we're looking at a Jewish cemetery where there probably is more. And so why over here, if I only search in one direction and nothing to be found, now basically that's going to exempt me from searching the other three directions? Okay. I admit the Gemara is difficult to understand. And the Gemara's answer. So I'm Rav Menashe Bar Yirmi, I'm a Rav Shechunas Kfaros, my Taima, I'm Rish Lakish Ila Matzav Viteros at Eretz Yisrael. I'm admitting that these last lines of the Gemara over here are definitely difficult to understand. The Gemara seems to be answering Shechunas Kfaros, meaning it's a cemetery. And then the Gemara says, and we're going to go back to the Reish Lakish explanation of any excuse that we could use in order to be Matar Yisrael, we're going to do so. Definitely challenging to understand what was the Gemara's answer to the question. And I'm going to go back to Tosfos. Amar Shash to Shechunas Kfaros, Klamar, Shechunas Kfaros, Shoshosh, Shenimtu Kvar, Yeshlo. So Tosis' understanding of the Gemara's answer is, look, you found a cemetery, let's just call it a day. In other words, that's your cemetery. Either maybe more. I checked in one direction. We didn't find anything in one direction. Let's just simply call it a day. And okay, and now using this Tosis, now you understand. And now we're going to go back to Reish Lakish, meaning all this is challenging from a rational standpoint. Meaning, once I now have a suspicion that there are more bodies to be buried, because we just discovered a Jewish cemetery, and I only checked one direction, shouldn't I check all three directions? Yeah, Elah. Yeah, any excuse that we can in order to create more free and clear space in Eretz Yisrael, after how we're going to do so. Okay. As much as I just said over the Gemara, I'm admitting, it's really challenging. Meaning, once we discovered a Jewish cemetery, and now, Raglayim Ladavar, If I may use the Mishnah's language. Now there's really good data. There's really good suspicion to suspect that there's going to be other burial plots in surrounding area. And now any excuse we can, don't do a check. I'm admitting it's hard to understand these halachas. Good. Tosus earlier in today's daf struggled, and so good, you get to watch me struggle as well. Okay. Takes us now to our second topic of today. And again, now, if you're going to be wondering, we're going to be talking about Saras, aren't we learning Nazir? Yeah, sure. As I mentioned here, in this ninth parak of the Masechta, so it's a potpourri of halachas that are not related to Nazir, but there definitely is a common thread. But yes, we're going into the world of Saras. Kol Safik Negayim B'tchila Tara Ad Shalom Nizkak L'Tumah, Mishu Nizkak L'Tumah Sveiko Tamei. Okay. Safik Nega, Safik of Saras. An uncertainty. See Tosus. I'm not going to go through it. But I'm telling you what we're skipping. See Tosus over here for the various cases of Sveikos. Okay, but let's just right now speak in more abstract terms. Okay, maybe it's Saras, maybe not. So if your Chazaka is your Tahor, so what are we going to say in the case of Safik? Your Tahor. If you're starting where your Chazaka is Tamei, meaning you already are in a condition of Saras, and now potentially this may be Tzaras, so we're going to work with the Chazaka. Effectively, what did the Mishnah introduce us to? Chazaka. Now, granted, by the way, that we know about the idea of Chazaka, but I guess maybe the application of Chazaka in the world of Tzaras. Okay. So, Manan, immediately the Gemara wants to know the first line of the Mishnah, that if it's Safik Nega, but you are B'tchila Tahor, you're working from a Chezkas Tahara. Historically, you didn't have Tzaras. When I say historically, I'm not talking about your entire life. I mean, right now, you were free and clear of Tzaras. And now there's a possibility. Suffolk. So what do we say? Well, your Chazaka is Tahor, and this is just a Suffolk. Okay, we'll work with your Chazaka. Minah Hanimili, how do I know that? The Gemara in Chulin, Daf Yad Aleph, goes through a lengthy discussion of how do we know about Chazaka in general. But over here, this is going to be a very localized discussion of Chazaka as it applies to Saras. So Manani Milam Rav Yudam Rav Amakor Latar Olatamo Ho Upasach Ba Kasa Batar Tchila. In the Parsha of Saras, which we're getting to shortly enough, in Sedra, right? We're just Tzav Shmini, okay? Tazria is Saras, and so is Mitzora. So we're going to get to it soon enough, but Litaharo Latamo. So which of the two did the Torah choose to use first? Tahara. Okay. So that means to say that if a person is in a state of Tahara, so that's going to be our default. Meaning if he's in a state of Tahara, and now, Safek, you know what? Keep that state of Tahara. So the Gemara says, okay, but now, if we always going to default to Tahara, so then, I don't understand if he's, even if he's Becheskas Toma, but now there's a Safek, why don't we default back to Tahara? So the Gemara says, okay, no. Meaning the Rav Yehuda Merav is a good explanation, but not about our Mishnah, about something else. What else? So Im Bayaris Kadmila Seyar Lavan Tamei. Vim Seyar Lavan Kadmila Baharis Tahor. Okay, so let's start off with the basics. So Baharis is a form of Saras. As you go through the Parsha and Tazria, you're going to see that there are many different forms of Saras. Okay? Baharis is a form. Let's right now just simply call it a discoloration. Your skin is going to change colors. Good. And what you need for a Baharis is that it's multi-symptomatic. In other words, not only are you going to see a discoloration of the skin, but also the hair in that skin is going to turn white. And in order for it to be Saras, it has to operate with a sequence. And that sequence is going to be, so the Baharis has to come before the hair turning white. So first the skin turns white, then the hair turns white. Then and only then, tummy. That's Saras. If on the other hand, the result is the same, but the sequence is not, Tahor. So obviously, in order for the Kohen to diagnose correctly, so he has to know sequence. Okay, now the obvious question coming up. What if you know the result, but you didn't know the sequencing? Now what? That's called a Safek. So Safek, now if I didn't know, so now he comes to the Kohen. Okay, white skin, white hair. What was the sequence? I don't know. So the Tanakama says Tameh. That's Shita's Tanakama. And Rabbi Yoshua Amar Kiha. Rabbi Yoshua says Kiha. Now, that wasn't what we were expecting him to say. In other words, maybe say Suffolk, maybe say Tahor. He uses the word Kiha. Now, the word Kiha literally means it's light. Okay, what does that mean? So my kia, that's the Gemara's next question. I'm Rav Yehuda, kia v'tahor. Light meaning it's going to be tahor. V'duma kia v'tameh. I don't know, maybe that's not what he meant. So I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav, I'm a kral l'taro l'tamo, ho pasach bo kasa b'taro t'chila. No, because the pasach says l'taro l'tamo, meaning in a case of suffix, first thing that you do, l'taro. Meaning that if he's coming with a white discoloration of the skin and a white hair, but I don't know sequencing, litaro, or litamo. Meaning since the pasuk opened up with litaro, so that informs us that we're defaulting to tahara, not tuma. Okay, good. Akan. Takes us to the end of the Mishnah, end of the sugya. We're going to pause here, and tomorrow we'll pick it up with Zav. Okay, tomorrow is the final daf of the Masechta. Okay, whatever. We'll talk about tomorrow's daf. Okay, let's quickly wrap up. Let's recap our daf today. Here we are, second to last daf of the Masechta, and we're, as you can see, far away from the topic of Nazir. The ninth parak is a potpourri of different halachas. Did we discuss two in today's daf? Number one, moving a body. Discovery of a body that was buried in ground. Nobody knew about it. It was matzah. It was a new discovery. So under those circumstances, what are you by right allowed to do? Move it. Why do you want to move it? Create more tahara area in Eretz Yisrael. Right? You saw that clearly as we got through our daf today. That's really the driving force, what's motivating us to move the body. We just want more area in Eretz Yisrael to be tahor. Again, the tahara in Eretz Yisrael, I'm speaking pragmatically. You want Kohanim to eat Truma. You want people to be able to remain tahor and go to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. And we want to consolidate the areas of mace to cemeteries, to designated cemeteries. So discovering of one or two, you can move the bodies. What if it's three? So now if it's three, Shchunas Kvaros. Okay. Which means presumably two things. One, those bodies stay there. Two, is that now it requires you to do a wide search, a sweeping search of the surrounding area to see maybe there are other bodies that are buried around. Also, upon the discovery of one or two, we learned about the halacha of tfusa, that you have to take surrounding earth. What is the definition of surrounding earth? So on the bottom of the Amud Aleph of today's daf, a discussion amongst Tanayim and the Amor, Reb Elazar ben Pedas, all weighing in exactly what the definition of tfusa is. Forensics in today's daf, a lot of it. In other words, how do I know that it was a Jewish body? Maybe it wasn't a Jewish body. So a lot of clues and data points in terms of what exactly will allow me to say that it was a Jewish body as opposed to a non-Jewish body. So that was also on the Amud Aleph. And then what if the Amud Beis dealt with one final question? What if I discovered one, moved it, discovered a second, moved it, and then discovered a third one, and the three of them now retroactively were contiguous, and they were within the range of 4 to 8. So now what do I do? Okay, so two versions of how to litigate such a situation. Do I relitigate? According to the first version, yes. And according to version number two, no need to relitigate. Okay. And then our last topic of today was Mitzara. Now again, far away from the topics of Nazir, and what do I do a case of Safek? Is Safek Mitzara? So, Chazaka. In other words, if you are starting with a Chazaka of Tahor, and now you have a Safek, you remain Tahor. If you started with a Chazaka of Tameh, and you have a Safek, you remain Tameh. Good. That is the basic point of the Mishnah. And then the Gemara quotes a drasha, l'taro, l'tamo. Is it going on our Mishnah? The Gemara says, no, it's not. But rather, it's going on a different scenario. And that is that a person comes in with white skin discoloration, with a white hair, and the halacha is that you need the proper sequence of skin, hair. The guy comes in, the Kohen asks him which came first. He's unable to provide proper information. He doesn't know. What do I do? Machlokas Tanaim, what you do? Tanakama says it's Tameh, and Rabbi Yoshua says Kiha, which means Tahor. How does he arrive at that? Letaro, letamo.